We're going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is a verse you know. We'll break it down a little bit. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The scripture says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." That word transformed means to be changed, to be remolded, reshaped. To be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Okay, number one, we're not supposed to be conformed to the world. That means I'm not supposed to look like the world. I'm supposed to look different. Amen? The Bible says we are a peculiar people. We are set aside, set apart. I don't look like the world. I'm not trying to look like the world. I don't want to look like the world. That we are, God has called us out for something better. Doesn't mean we're better. Doesn't mean we're superior to anybody else. God loves everybody. We love all the world. But God has set us apart and made us new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have made new. And He has given me a new destiny. He has given me a new purpose in life. So be transformed by the how? By the renewing of your mind. So don't be like the world, but be different. Be changed. Be shaped into something different. How? By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Our minds have patterns that we develop over time. We have habits. We have things that we, ways of thinking that are developed from the time we're children. And a lot of times it's wrong thinking. People grow up with inferiority complexes. They grow up with feelings of low self-esteem. They grow up feeling like they have no value. And a lot of times it's because of what they've been told all their life. If you tell a child their whole life, you're worthless, you won't amount to anything, you're not any good. If that child hears that over and over and over, they believe it. And they grow up believing they have no value. And it's a horrible thing. And so there are patterns that are set in our minds from the time we're young, through our upbringing, it's our environment, our traditions and the religion, whatever you were brought up in. And if you were fortunate and blessed to be brought up in a healthy, godly, spirit-filled environment, that's good. But everybody didn't have that, right? And so sometimes we develop patterns in our minds, and that becomes set over time, and they get like they're in concrete. But then you get saved. You're born again. You become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You become a new being. You're born again. God does a new work in you. Here's the problem. You still have this old mind. You still have that way of thinking. That hasn't changed. God changed your spirit man, but your carnal mind still has that old way of thinking. What God is trying to do, let me just put it this way. What God is trying to do is to bring that new that's in you, the new creature, He's trying to bring it out. He's trying to bring it to the front. But to do that, He's got it in here. But to do that, He's got to get through all this stuff. Does that make sense to you? It's like God's trying to get out of you. Do you understand that? God is trying to get out of you. He's in you, but He wants to get out of you. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be evident in your life. But to do that, He has to get through the barriers, the thinking, the wrong thinking, all the stuff that's in our carnal mind that holds it back. This word transformed, we get our word metamorphosis from that word, the Greek word. And metamorphosis is when something changes. The same word is used when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the disciples were standing around, and all of a sudden, standing on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus was who? Elijah and Moses. Wow. Does anybody else think that's pretty awesome?
Yes.
Right? I mean, Jesus is standing there, and all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses appear to stand with him, and they're standing there, and all of a sudden, Jesus begins to glow. He begins to radiate. He begins to shine in a way they'd never seen. And it was, what was happening? That same word, he was transfigured, and that same word, metamorphosis. What was happening? We know that God was on the inside of Jesus, and all that was inside of him started coming out. It's like he was saying, guys, let me show you who and what I really am. Let me give you a glimpse of the glory that is in here. He was veiled in flesh, but all of a sudden he let that begin to just glow, and it began to just, and he changed right in front of them. And Peter uttered the biggest understatement of all time when he said, hey, it's good to be here. You think? Hey, guys, it's good to be here. And I'm sure they were looking at him like, duh. So it was an awesome moment. But he was showing us, I think, something. I'm just going to say this because I believe it's true. And I'm speaking of me too. We don't know what we have inside of us. We haven't realized it. We haven't come to the full knowledge of what we have in us. Oh, if we could just catch a glimpse of it, if we could just understand what is on the inside of it, what is on the inside of you trying to get out. We got a room full of caterpillars and we got butterflies trying to get out. Amen? We got beautiful butterflies trying to spread their wings and come out and be everything that God wants you to be. But the devil doesn't want you to be that. He doesn't want you to be that. He doesn't want you to be a big, beautiful butterfly for God. He doesn't want you experiencing all that God has. He wants to keep you beat down. He wants to keep you depressed. He wants to keep you fearful. He wants to keep you filled with anxiety. He wants to keep you feeling unworthy. He wants to keep you feeling that way. And our thinking, our minds, all of you understand this is where the battleground is. Our minds get us in trouble. We're like the guy walking by the insane asylum and he heard a bunch of voices going, 13, 13, 13, 13. And he wondered, what in the world are they hollering about? And he wanted to see, but there was a big wooden fence. And he got to looking around and he found a little hole in the wooden fence. So he thought he'd look through that hole to see what they were shouting about, what they were hollering about. And he stuck his eye up to the little hole and somebody poked him with a stick. And he stepped back and then they started going, 14, 14, 14. So your mind, your curiosity, you know, don't think things through. How many of you ever not thought something through? We get in trouble because we don't think things through. And the devil, that becomes, you know, that old saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. There's a reason the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind, take control of your mind. Because this is where the battle is. There's a reason the Bible says, put on the helmet of salvation to guard your mind, to guard your thinking, because that's what gets us into trouble. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is all around us. God is spirit, and those that worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's a spiritual dimension. Our thinking is so earthbound. You know, it's so earthbound. And to start thinking spiritual things and to understand that the kingdom is all around me and that we can access that dimension. We can access the kingdom of God. He has made it available for us to access. The spiritual kingdom of God is right here. But it's spirit. But we're so flesh. We think in terms of what we can touch and what we can see and what we can feel and what we can hear with our five senses. We are so governed by that that it limits us, and we don't have the vision that we need. And that's the first thing we need to start asking God for, vision. Folks, let me tell you something. You will never grow beyond your vision. You will never grow beyond what you can see. And I'm talking about seeing in the spirit. I want you to start praying for God to give you spiritual eyes, to start giving you vision so that you can see in the spirit. Start claiming it, start possessing it, start owning it. In the kingdom of God, to start seeing in the spirit. To start seeing in the spirit prosperity, to start seeing in the spirit blessing, to start seeing in the spirit that your family is blessed, to start seeing in the spirit realm that you're healthy. You got to first see it. If you want it, listen, Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It starts in the spirit and then it comes into the flesh. Amen? It starts in the spirit and then it comes into the flesh. So you got to start having a spirit vision. You got to start seeing it in the kingdom of God. And when we see through these eyes, what do we see? We see problems. We see the stuff of life. We get overwhelmed, you know, and it overwhelms us. But we're not seeing what God sees. We're not seeing through the Word of God. And that's what we've got to, Lord, help me see what you see. Help me see through the Word of God, because what I'm seeing scares me. What I'm seeing intimidates me. What I'm seeing limits me. And that's my problem. I don't see with vision that I should see. The other thing is the way you talk. Not only does your vision should be governed by the Spirit, but your speech, the way you talk, should be governed by the Spirit. And we're all guilty of this. But we really need to work on this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? What is the abundance of my heart? And sometimes we speak such negative things. We speak defeat, right? And we need to quit talking that way. We need to bless our families. Amen. You bless your wife. Guys, bless your wife. Speak blessings over her. Speak blessings over your husband. Speak blessings over your children. Speak the word of God over your family. And proclaim it. Not what you see, not what you feel, but speaking and proclaiming the word of God. If God tells you to move a mountain, don't get out and pray about it. Move it. Speak it. Proclaim it. God's already told you to do it. He's already given you the authority. Amen? Well, we're going to pray about it. I love prayer. And I love our intercessors and our prayer teams. And prayer is important, because prayer is how we birth it. But folks, there comes a time when you speak it. There comes a time when it's time to proclaim. There comes a time when it's time to possess. Amen? And take. Hallelujah. God calls those things that be not as though they were. And we can sit there. If we wait until we see it materializing, okay, now's the time. That's not how it works. God wants us to start walking around the walls of Jericho, even though they're still big and strong and terrifying. Amen. And to not be afraid of them and walk around them and proclaim the name of the Lord. Abraham, you know what Abraham means? Father of multitudes. God came to Abraham and said, "I'm going to give you a new name." Abraham didn't have any kids. Didn't have a one. And God said, "I'm changing your name to Abraham." And Abraham's like, "God, you do know what that means. It means father of multitudes. I don't have any children. I don't have any kids. But I'm giving you that name anyway, because I'm the God that calls those things that be not as though they were." and I want people to call you Abraham. I want you to start calling yourself Abraham. I want you to start speaking Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. I want you everywhere you go to say Father of multitudes, because you're calling something into existence. Amen. So people would see him and call him, hey, Abraham. And they were saying, hey, Father of multitudes. Amen. There's the Father of multitudes. That's powerful. They were speaking something. They were proclaiming the word of God. And guess what happened? He became the father of multitudes. The father of millions because of speaking something into existence. Not only to see God's way and to speak God's way, but to think God's way. Oh, to God to change our thinking. Jesus fed 4,000 people on one occasion, 5,000 on another. And after feeding the 4,000, the Bible says he got in a boat with his disciples and they started to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was thinking about deep spiritual things. And the disciples were thinking about lunch. Amen? They were thinking about the next meal. And Jesus is in another whole place. And the disciples realize that, did any of y'all think to get that leftover bread? There were baskets left over. And they were like, no, I didn't get it. I thought Matthew was getting it. I thought Philip was getting it. I thought Nathaniel was going to get it. I thought Andrew, none of them got it. And they're worried about it because they left all that food. They're riding in a boat with a guy who just fed 5,000 people and they're worried about bread. Amen. Don't we do the same thing? How many times has he blessed us? How many times has he took care of us? How many times has he come through? How many times has he rolled back the water? How many times has he brought down the wall? How many times has he defeated the giant? But we're worried about tomorrow. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. He's not, we sang the song this morning. He's never failed me. He's not going to let me down now. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is sitting in the boat and he says, guys, you just really need to be careful about the leaven of the Pharisees. You need to be careful about the bread of the Pharisees. And the disciples are looking at each other saying, see, I told you he's upset because we didn't get that bread. But, and Jesus heard them and he's like, guys, that's not what I'm talking about. When are you going to ever learn? You get your minds just to change your thinking. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? And Nicodemus, you're going to have to be born again. He said, born again? How can I be born again? How can I re-enter my mother's womb? That's not spirit thinking. That's flesh thinking. That's flesh thinking. Born again. How do I get in my mother's womb so my mother can give birth to me again? What can you, you know? And Jesus looks at him and says, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That won't change anything. You must be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus didn't understand. And then Jesus said this, Nicodemus, how can you be a teacher and a ruler of Israel and not know these things? Amen? But here we sit. And we have been guilty of, we come to church, and we hear. Folks, most of y'all have heard, how many sermons have y'all heard in your life? How many? How many books have you read? How many teachings have you sat on? How much have we heard and heard and heard? Well, I want to tell you something this morning. I'm speaking from my heart. You can hear from now on. And you can read books and you can listen to stuff, but until we start believing, until we rise up and say, you know what? I'm doing something about what I'm hearing. And I'm doing something about what I believe. And I've decided to follow Jesus and step up in faith and believe it and start acting on it. that we'll spend the rest of our lives just hearing. But faith without faith, with just hearing, without doing, is nothing. There comes a point when we need to act on it. And the way we do that is to change our thinking, to allow God to begin to change the way we think and begin to think the way God thinks. I need my mind renewed that I can begin to see things differently. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.